Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we are on the air this morning. We want to say good morning, America. And we're so excited to be hanging out with our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
Yay!
Right, Laura Kelly. So, okay. So we're going to go ahead and go live this morning while we wait on Pastor. So it's all good.
That's Tomessa.
Mesa. So listen, we are live this morning on our Blog Talk Radio here at blogtalkradio.com/mansion if you want to come in and tune in.
Yes.
But listen, we are still in the technical setup.
Yes.
So listen, while we are setting up, we're so excited to introduce you to an amazing man of God. But well, hold on, because he's doing the techno right now. Amen. So we're just excited about that.
And he's on fire for Jesus. I got the fire right here. It's a real video. Ama adora a Dios. Y la lumbre de fuego de la palabra de Dios is on him.
Hallelujah.
So I'm so blessed.
Hallelujah.
Estamos bendecidos.
Just get your song.
Gloria a Dios. Hallelujah.
Installing device
Thank
is ready
you,
to use.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Lord.
What is it saying?
So
software?
Y'all be patient with us. Y todos alrededor de México, en Reynosa, Nuevo Laredo. Saludos a toda mi familia que todo el tiempo me ven. Los quiero mucho. Saludos a todos. Y sigan buscando al Rey de los Reyes, al Padre Todopoderoso que nos bendiciona en la tierra. And I just want to say hi to all my peoples in Mexico,
morning,
in New York, todos los de Nueva York. Blessings, bendiciones.
Blessings.
God is good. He's doing new things, and God is good. That's all I got to say.
We're just chilling out because we are in a place of reshifting and alignment.
Yes.
Amen. And we're excited about what God is doing, and we are trying to y'all know I'm not tech savvy, so don't be tripping on me today. Okay. I'm just here to be a messenger.
Yes. And but he will connect us with people that will help us, right?
Yeah, we did that. Come on,
right,
Papa.
Here. Right here.
How you doing? Right.
And the
right
here.
Hey.
Got it?
We got it right.
Okay.
All right.
What a
great
time.
Good morning, Sheree.
How you doing this morning,
morning,
Mama?
Thank
you for tuning in.
Coffee. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank
you
so much.
Wow. See how good God is? We got our speaker.
Oh, my
Pastor Bethel got his cafecito. God is good.
So, Pastor, your device is like it's rotated, but your live is kind of.
Let me do this. You guys do your thing. Some technical stuff this morning. We're chilling as we work it out.
Good morning, Mystery.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Papa Jack and Mama Darlene.
Thank you for our
and where's Leo? There he is.
Hey, Leo.
Yes.
I'm like a little girl. I'm always expecting my gift. Ahora es de coconut. Mira.
Bang.
There you go.
Got it, Pastor.
Good. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
You are, yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm the other lost brother. I've been down here this morning, so good.
And look, I have to bring the fire
because
this is Pastor
Ben. That's the fire, man. My Lord, I'm telling you.
You brought us a speaker.
You
know, we've been needing it.
We were looking for it yesterday.
We didn't find it.
But look at y'all. And I'm hoping that's the type of mic that everybody can talk at the same time and you get the, you know,
you'll figure it out. So
you're going to get
to
sold out. Come on. Yes, it's better to give than to receive. God is a giver. Thank you so much, guys. Para la pareja, ¿cómo se llama usted?
Jack and Dalí.
Jack and Dalí. La familia Ortiz. God bless you. Yeah. And who's the little buddy right there in the middle?
Leo.
Leo. God bless you, Leo. You know what Leo means? It means a lion. King.
To the house, in the mansion.
That is some good coffee.
Like I
feel at home.
Yeah.
everything going today?
You know, going very well. It's Tuesday. It's a very very active day for us.
Yeah.
At New Life Church, on Tuesdays we do a lot of counseling.
Okay.
You know, I use the word counseling for people that way you know what I'm talking about. But it's more discipleship. We do individual discipleship. We do marriage discipleship. We do marriage counseling.
Awesome.
I got 1 hour sessions all the way from 2 o'clock to 9 p.m. tonight.
Wow.
And that's individual.
Wow.
Get your marriage restored.
Come on, man.
Get you together forever. Come out to New Life Church and I would be right here to the mansion.
Woo!
Gotta come to the mansion, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to say on that note, I want to salute you in the army,
yes,
of the Lord, because, you know, we already know that that's the strategy of the enemy.
Yes.
You know, if he can mess up your home.
Oh, yes.
You know, he can mess up your bay, or whatever,
yes,
you know. But
if he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but
yes,
to know that you set aside special time.
Yes.
To, you know, speak life.
Absolutely.
To the home of people.
Yeah, he sold out for real.
And I would say this, staying in that subject, might as well go with the Holy Spirit, right? And I always believe, I believe that the enemy, like you said, steal, kill, destroy. Christ came to give life and abundance, right? And we know that in that area, we know that the enemy has deceived what deceived Eve. We know that Eve came from Adam, came from the rib of Adam. Adam went to sleep. Amen. And it does take sometimes a time of posture for a complete dedication unto God so that the church was birthed,
mm-hmm,
out of Adam. But anyway, in that sense of deception, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, comes to deceive, and he comes to destroy three things. So just real quick. Number one, the family. He's going to come.
Destroy the family.
He comes to destroy the family and try to throw in what is called leaven in the bread. Because all it takes is just a little bit of leaven.
Mm-hmm.
And it lumps up the whole lump, amen.
Oh,
and that's called pride, amen. The same argument that Eve did, where she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that knowledge of good and evil was the tree that was planted in the garden, where God said, you can eat from all the trees.
Yeah, he did.
And especially the tree of life. Amen. That is the tree of life. We are out to eat out of the tree of life every day.
Yeah.
You wake
yes.
up in the morning, you're able to eat from the tree of life. But it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Come on.
That is where the problem comes. And that is still the problem.
Come on.
As we speak here today. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is literally saying, I am my God. I am my own God.
Come on.
I will dictate what's good, and I will dictate what's evil. And Jesus told the rich young ruler, he said, who are you calling good? Amen. This is the Amplified version. Like, who are you calling good? There's no one good but God.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he said that, the reason why he said that was because the rich young ruler did not see Jesus as his Savior, as his Messiah. But he was limiting Jesus as a teacher. Anyway, so three things he wants to destroy. The family, number two, the church. Because these three organizations that I'm about to talk about, the family, church, and also there's many more, but I would say government. Mm-hmm. And government in the sense of the word, the peacemakers, amen. This is why there's a lot of confusion that comes on that. And like I said the other day, there are some bad apples in all of them. There are some bad apples in families. I mean, there's some parents that have done some horrific things to children.
Yes.
Amen. There are some pastors that have done some horrific things.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And there are some police officers that have done some horrific things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But you know what? God is the judge of all things. He's the one that will examine all things.
Yes.
And those are the three organizations that I believe right now that as a pastor, I have the authority God has given us. The Bible says that he has given us, he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You know what that means? That means that we have been given authority. That means we've given authority to discipline. Church, we need to go back to discipline.
Yeah.
And there has to be a place of discipline. Family, there has to be a place of discipline. That means when the daddy comes home, there's fear of the Lord. I mean, when daddy comes, I'm going to tell your daddy. You know, and I think all these things are being shifted, they're being turned around, they're being twisted and cut in all these wrong places. And so the enemy can get power where he knows he's got no power.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I was watching some of your teaching and preaching, and I was listening to the one about the thing, you know, we got to stay firm. But tell me more about the billboard of the most hated man in DFW.
Yeah, the most hated man in the DFW. I did that to get the attention, obviously, of the world. And what I mean by that is that way back in the Roman Church, in the Roman Catholic Church, we all know this. In the Roman Catholic Church, I'm sure that it started out with good intention. Amen. The Roman Catholic Church started out in Rome, and I may ruffle some feathers here, but that's why I am the most hated man in the DFW. And I just say that because truth will do that. Amen. And what happens even in the Roman Catholic Church, it gained power, and Roman was defeated. Roman came back and wanted some kind of authority, and of course needed the church. It needed the church. You can say that in Mexico. Mexico needs the church, and a lot of these other third world countries, the church has a lot of power in those nations. But I'll get to that question.
Right. Yeah.
But what happens is, when the Roman church started to grow, there was a lot of pagan festivals. You know, Israel is all about festivals, and all of those festivals are Jesus. Every festival that we read in the book of Leviticus, they all point to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was being crucified and his flesh just completely gave out because he was the Son of Man, there was a man named Simeon that picked up the cross, and he carried the cross behind Christ, and I believe that's why the Bible, that's why Jesus said, walk the extra mile. There was a Roman law at the time where if a Roman would tell a Jew to carry the equipment of a Roman soldier, by law they had to carry it for 1 mile. But the second mile was out of grace. Amen. So we're in the second mile right now.
Come on.
The first mile was the law, the second mile is the grace. And this man Simeon followed Christ. For 1 mile, he followed it in the law. I have to.
Yeah.
And probably called him blasphemer, you thief, you murderer, you no good man, right? Dirty. Remember, this was an Israelite that was separating himself for the feast. And once he touched that cross full of blood, guess what? He was considered dirty. He was not going to be able to partake in the Passover. And so when he carried the cross, I believe whether he carried it 1 mile or the second mile, whether that's literal or that's subject to talk about. But I believe that walking behind Christ, he realized, I'm following Jesus. He is the Messiah. You start out with the law, absolutely, because the law points to your sin. The law points to us that I need a Savior. I cannot be saved on my own merit. There is nothing I can do to be saved. Amen. Even my righteousness are filthy rags. And so he realized that Christ Jesus was the Savior, and talking about the streets. So anyway, going back to the Roman Catholic Church, and I believe that a lot of paganism was coming in, and their good intention was like, hey, let's bring them in, and soon they'll be converted to Christians. So I believe that we are in a place in America, in the Western culture, church, that we are accommodating to the world and to the culture. I believe I was at a meeting the other day of pastors, and some pastor really stood up against me and said, well, we've got to accommodate to the culture of America. I said, no, we don't. I said, the church, we're not going to bend backwards. As a matter of fact, I would say we need to grow a backbone.
Come on, man.
I mean, we got to have a backbone because the world has to change their culture.
Come on.
I mean, because we have the answer.
That's right.
And I'll say this about the church. We have the absolute answer to everything.
Woo!
His name is Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
His name is Christ Jesus. He's got the answer for COVID. He's got the answer
for anything,
for hate, for violence, for everything. He's got the answer. We have the answer to the church, so we have to, like you said, sustain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that word sustain.
We have to sustain it. We have to sustain it. But anyway, talking about the most hated man. So I did a billboard, and because I have a what is called a little marketing company I do on the side, you know, I'm busy. You know, you gotta be busy, man. So
yeah.
I'm not lazy. You know, Christian,
that's what
we're
I'm
not
talking
lazy.
About.
you know, and so we do billboards, and I did a little, and it did get me in a little bit of a spew there with the city, but hey, it is what it is. God bless you. So anyway, hey, there we go. Great coffee, by the way.
You're not scared.
Wow.
And you know what I love? When I've been listening to you and the word of God in you, it's lumbre, la palabra de Dios es lumbre, es fuego. And I be getting convicted, Pastor, okay? So I go back to a teaching that we did, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I'll be checking myself, okay? I'm like, ooh, Lord Jesus, you know?
I've been wrecked many times. Yeah.
So I'm so thankful to God, you know, that he has connected us at Liberty Place. We got connected at Liberty
Place. I love it.
And he got connected with Edward and Pastor Bobby at Men's Encounter.
Yeah, okay, that's awesome.
So see how God connects warriors for such a time as this, because we're the army of Jesus Christ, and we're going to rise up to be about the Father's business. I would say, you know, we got to continue the kingdom work, and we need to lock arms. And iron sharpen iron. And I would say this, Pastor, I'm a student. I'm learning, growing, and knowing, and there's so much to be taught and learned. And I'm going to make it, Pastor. And
amen.
I just thank God.
I
told Pastor Marlo, I said, he's coming to the show. He said, when? Tuesday, this Tuesday. I said, okay,
I'm
this Tuesday. As long as they give you a microphone, you say you're there.
I'm ready. You know, I've ever since the Lord saved me, you know, I heard the gospel when I was 25 years old. My son, I believe, he must have been maybe a couple years old. I was living in San Marcos, Texas. Walking around the streets of Austin with my family, my initial mama of my kids, right? And I was a cocaine addict. I was a functioning cocaine addict. I was educated. I had a great career, and I was a functioning cocaine addict, alcoholic, and just all the Mexican things, you know, machismo, all those things, right?
Yeah.
And that we think make us a man, but that doesn't make us a man. What makes us a man is the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And so I heard the gospel, and I heard this young man, he was preaching the gospel on the street, and talking about Jesus saved you, Jesus saved you. And he wasn't just saying Jesus saved you, but he was preaching the gospel. And the gospel touched me, it reached me. I mean, I walked across the street, and I said, you need to tell me about this man named Jesus, because I was raised Catholic. I was raised Catholic, that every time I would drive right past a building, I would, you know, do the crucifixion thing, right? And so he was telling me about Jesus. I said, man, I said, well, what must I do? I mean, I felt like those Peter, I felt like those men when Peter was preaching, what must I do to be saved? I felt like Nicodemus, but I wasn't like in the middle of the day. And he said, you must be born again. And at that moment, he invited me to a church service on Thursday night. I remember it was Thursday night. Invited me to a church service, 25 years old, and I accepted Christ Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus, man. I don't know. I was raising my hand. I was jumping up and down. I'm very enthusiastic, very emotional. And so, but the seed fell on the wayside.
Come on.
And so the enemy came and just took that. By the weekend came, I got my check. And next thing you know, I'm on a cocaine binge once again. Amen. But the Lord, you know, that's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about that there is nothing that can take you away from the love of God.
Come on.
Nothing.
Now.
No,
not
pastor,
that,
no
not
angels,
that,
nothing.
That,
nothing.
That.
Because once you belong to him, man,
he
will.
Let
me get something that I can crush. Here. This is you. This is you. Once you accept Christ, this is you. But once you belong to him, he will go long days like that. And the enemy will try to, and sometimes you may even tear some pieces off for you. He'll tear you up. Sometimes you feel like you're tearing up, but the Lord will never let go of you. Now, you can let go of him. The Bible says that Esau was exhausted. He was weary, and he traded in his birthright. Amen. And we're going to talk maybe a little bit. We'll get that to a little bit in the book of Numbers, how the Bible says that Balak and Balaam, there was a prophet, and there was a king of the Amalekites, I believe, or the Ammonites, or I don't know what they were. They were just ites, right? And at the end of the day, he said, hey, man, I cannot curse what God has blessed. And I'm telling you right now, you are blessed. Wherever you're watching us, you're listening to us on the radio, whatever nation you're in, you are blessed. Amen. And God's got a hold on you. And the only way that you can be cursed, curse yourself. In other words, you stop believing if you turn your back on God. Amen. So I heard the God, the sea fell on the wayside. The enemy came. I fell on the bench. years later, I believe my father died. My father died. I was 29 years old. My father died. Man, great excuse to get high again, man. I was doing some crazy things in Matamoros, Tamaulipas, over there by Reynosa, Tamaulipas, Matamoros, Tamaulipas, crossing guns to Matamoros. I mean, just, I wanted to die, basically. I said, hey, you know what? I wanted to die. I thank God for the United States government because they saved my life. And they had us watch. They were watching us. The Holy Spirit must have done this, because I remember one night I was on a cocaine binge. I wake up in my bedroom, and all of a sudden I have this intervention. You know, this family intervention, man. I'm like, man, what are you all doing here? What do you want? And they were telling me, you're going to die. And I was like, well, I don't care, right? And then they opened my eyes and said, well, do it for your children. And so that night, a lot of things turned to my favor, and I was sent to Abilene. And I was sent to Abilene to a halfway house. To a rehab house, Serenity House. Serenity, I love you guys in Serenity. I hear you're not there no more, but all the people that have done great work, Serenity House, through the 80s, through the 90s, whatever years you guys were there. God bless you, because I'm one of your fruit from the Serenity.
Yeah.
And so I went to Abilene, this and that. I got cleaned up. I went to a halfway house, blah, 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 this and the other. Man, I go back to Austin, right, because I want to be with my kids. But a lot of times, let me tell you something, you cannot help others if you're not in the firm foundation yet.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I always tell people, hey, look, I know you're fired up for the Lord. I know all these things, but listen, you've got to let the foundation be firm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And there's a lot of things you got to dig out. Amen. You stop putting your foundation on quickie sand. Amen. This Christianity is not quickie. It's not quickie. It's got to be on a rock. And you got to be like that wise man. That wise man was a saved man. A saved man that was born again. A saved man that was converted. A saved man that is standing on a firm ground that was able to dig out that dirt. See, I mean, there's a lot of digging we got to do.
Come on.
I had to do a lot of digging. I had to go back to childhood trauma. I had to go to childhood trauma, and I had to meet Christ right there as a child and say, Lord, here's how I see you in my innocence. No hate, no unforgiveness,
yeah.
No, none of these things. Amen. And so that was my place of a rocky ground, the stony ground that the Bible talks about, the stony ground. And when that seed, remember, the seed is always good. It's the ground that changes.
Come on now.
So the seed is always good. It's the seed that's always good. But it's the ground that goes through seasons. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I was in that season of stony, and I just didn't have enough roots. I go back to Austin, make some bad decisions, going back to my old man. In other words, I start feeding my old man emotions. Instead of the new man, fruit of the spirit. Amen.
Come
and,
on, man.
And
help
so,
us out.
Yeah,
help us out.
And so there I go on another bench. It took another few more years, and I landed in Dallas. I landed in Dallas, Texas. And man, I'm doing good. I'm doing it good again. I've fallen so many times, but I've gotten right up.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, now I'm I got a business. I got a home. As a matter of fact, this is a great story. I'm going to tell you this story. So I'm in Mesquite. I have a home. I have a great career. This and that. I blow it, because what I realized that I was like a dog. I'm like a dog that chases a tire. And every time I catch the tire, I'm like, well, what do I do? What do I do? So I chase another tire. So I was always taking tires.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lose everything. I get arrested. I get busted with cocaine in Mesquite, Texas. Listen to this. In Mesquite, Texas, I get busted. And so, I catch a case. 1 month later, I'm on my way to Oklahoma. I catch another cocaine case. So now I got cocaine cases. I got all kinds of cases against me. So I thank God for a great lawyer. God bless you. Jesus Christ is the greatest lawyer. Amen.
Yes.
The greatest advocate. Amen. But he put the right young man in my life. And fought for me. He fought hard, and I was just able to do time, county time, glory to God. And, of course, a lot of years of probation, a lot of years. It cost me a lot of money, but I was able to serve the Lord. You know, I was ordained while still on paper. I went through the Assembly of God, but I got ordained through an apostolic church. Isn't that crazy? So I got ordained through an apostolic church, and then I came back to my roots, the Assembly of God doctrine, which we're now a non-denominational church, but almost the same doctrine. So anyway, but that was the thorny ground. In other words, the seed came. I remember I bought the house. I remember I had a nice garage, and I said, Lord, I'm going to turn this into a Bible study room because I was walking with the Lord again, right? Because I was so thankful for everything he had given me. Well, guess what? I started doing cocaine again, and that's how I got busted. The Lord said, that's enough. I've had enough of you. You are mine, and I'm going to give you one more chance. Well, I got busted. I remember in that jail cell, I remember I just called out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I was just tormented by demons. That's what it was, just tormented by demons. And I said, Lord, I need peace. And at that moment, I don't know what happened, but I know I was delivered. I was delivered. I got peace.
You do it.
Years later, isn't that amazing? Our church is in this. Not only is it in the seat, but here in the next few months, maybe weeks, the arresting officer that arrested me in the seat is going to come, and he's going to receive an award from New Life Church.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And the officer that was involved in my case there in the seat, which used to be Captain Yates, now is Assistant Chief Yates. So isn't that amazing? I'm telling you that the Lord has something in me, in all of us. He has something special in all of us.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, you're listening to us. I don't know where you are listening to us. You're going to listen to us later. But all of you have woken up this morning with passion.
Yes.
There's passion. You know, Christ had a passion, and his passion was to do the will of God, the will of the Father. His passion was the passion of Christ, right?
That's right.
And so you wake up with passion, and whatever passion that is, you got to navigate it. You got to say, I have a passion for teaching children. I have a passion for reading. I have a passion for praying. I have a passion for interceding. I have a passion for preaching. I have a passion for serving. You have a passion. That will lead you to your spiritual gifts. And whatever spiritual gifts, that's you. That's your gift that is given in you. And you have to sow it into the kingdom of God. You can't sit on it. You'll be called lazy and wicked. That's what the Bible says. Amen.
Yeah.
It's not just talking about monetary talent. But if you can even preach it as spiritual gifts, and when you say invest it, you got to invest it into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Yes.
So your passion will lead you to your spiritual gift. And when you operate in your spiritual gift, because a lot of people, especially the church, especially pastors, so many times I made this mistake where I put people in usher position that should not be an usher because they're a prophet.
Right.
And a prophet does it.
Points you in the right direction. That's right.
And then I put pastors in a place of some type of leadership that takes direction, and they don't, because all they do is comfort people.
Right.
And so a lot of times those pastors, we put people in the wrong position, not because we can't discern it, but because there's no one available to do the job.
That's so true.
And because a lot of people, and those of you who are listening, listen to me, stop sitting on your talents.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting on your talent, and now you got a frustrated pastor because he's doing everything. And then you say, well, every time I talk to the pastor, he's mad. Well, absolutely, because you're sitting on your talent.
So get up.
And so your passion will lead you to your gift. And when you operate in your spiritual gift, this happens. Like somebody's calling me. Somebody gets called once again. Anyway, so we also help out people. If you're homeless out there and you need a break, we can get you into a hotel, especially in the winter time. This is when we operate the most. And so, anyway, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But your passion leads you to your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift, once you operate your spiritual gift, now you live on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up on purpose. You live on purpose. You speak on purpose. You teach on purpose.
Yes.
You do everything on
that's
purpose.
Right.
You
yes,
walk
right.
into a place, you're there on purpose.
Yes.
You're there because that's your assignment
yes.
for the day. You're on purpose.
Woo!
Amen. And that's your purpose. Once you live in that purpose, well, what's the purpose?
Well, to do the will of God. Your purpose is to do the will of God. And everybody, you know, the more we study the will of God, the more you study what's God's will for your life. Well, there's a lot of books being written. But I believe the number one answer for the will of God, the most simple answer is that God wants it all. That is his will. And when you do God's will, you know what you're doing? You have peace.
Hallelujah.
You have complete peace. That don't mean there's not a storm.
Yeah.
But I'll say this about that storm. I'll say this. Jesus walked on the sea.
Yeah.
That sea is out there. It is treacherous. It is dangerous.
Yeah.
It is sometimes evil. And it's there to steal, to kill, to destroy. Amen. The sea. But he walked on it so that we can walk on water.
Yeah.
So we can walk
Amen.
On that living water. Amen. So then eventually, so those were my four grounds that I had to go through. And that was 23 years of drug addiction. 23 years. And my father never got to see, I guess, the pretty good version of me. But I think, but my mama did.
Amen.
But now she's suffering from dementia. But at least she got to experience, you know, and she'll say it like this, ay, mijito, que bueno.
And you go, gloria a Dios.
Hey, gloria.
If anybody have a question or you want to call in and,
yeah.
and just talk to us, our number is
646-668-2247.
Call us,
yes.
okay?
Yes, and the pastor will answer.
Any question.
We'll pray for you if you have any
Throw
concerns.
Throw some questions.
Yes.
We
yes.
love questions.
Do that. And even for our studio audience, if you
yes.
have any questions or concerns or whatever. Like right now, because we're in a right now moment. Right.
Right now
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, we
yeah.
know how to.
I love the right now moment.
We know how to shift and move.
Yes.
The spirit is always
yes.
moving.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
We just thank God for you being here. Thank you, man of God.
I love it. I love
and
it.
Encouraging the body.
Yes,
yes.
yes.
You
yes.
know,
yes.
we are the body.
We are
the body. And, you know, why are we not breathing in the earth today? Because,
Amen.
You know, we are in a dark world, but we're the light.
Yes,
yeah.
we are.
We have to crank it up and turn
yes.
it up.
Yes, 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 yes.
yes.
And stop
yes.
complaining.
Yes.
yes.
Just be who you called to be.
Oh,
yes.
come on.
Okay?
Yes, come on.
Oh, my
Don't
God.
Don't
get
me started on that one.
Oh, my God.
I'm about to take out my glasses and get out.
Yeah, because we're the people of God. He said,
yeah,
let your light so shine.
I love it.
So that man may see your good works and what? Glorify.
Yeah. I love what you said that as I was driving in. This is, by the way, any of you ever been to Pentigo. Pentigo. Let me tell you something.
Come on.
It's a gem.
Yeah.
It's a gem. It's a gem.
It.
And as I was driving here, you know, I sat there in the parking lot for a couple of minutes and I was searching the word Pentigo.
Uh-oh. Talk about it.
Look, it's unknown.
Talk about it.
But even in the word unknown, did you know that there was a time in Areopagus, in other words, the hill of Mars in Greece, that they had thousands of gods that they worshiped. And our God was known as the unknown God.
Mm.
He was the unknown God. So even in Pentigo,
come on.
Which is it was unknown to me. That's the word that came to my mind. This is a gem. I even slowed down, and I believe time slowed down with me. Well, when I entered that little rail
yes.
thing, I was like, ooh, like God separated this little town
yeah.
for y'all. What a blessing. Do y'all live here?
And you know what?
Any of y'all live here?
They live in Arlington.
Well,
but you know, I have to tell you this. It's so amazing that you said that because here at the mansion on Parkwell.
The mansion.
Yes.
Don't get me started with that.
The whole complex here is about the glory of the Father. So
yes.
when we came here many years ago, that is our hashtag. We are the jewel of Pantiga. Here.
I believe
we bring so much light,
yes.
so much love, and
I love
there's
it.
So much that the city even trusts us to just give us freedom.
Yeah,
to they have a, you know, most cities, you know,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Dealing with
I went real close to the
stuff
city, yeah.
and all that. They have all these ordinances,
yeah.
you can't, but somehow the Lord just always opens the gate for us,
yes,
and freedom,
yes.
you know, we're in obedience and all that,
absolutely.
But they say, well, we know that you're doing serving, and
yeah.
we know what you got to do.
So they just give us freedom.
Absolutely. And I would add something to that because, I want to say hello to Mayor Bruce.
Good morning,
and future,
Mayor.
And future Mayor Dan Alamon. God bless
good
you.
Morning.
Congratulations on your new mayorship. And these are words from their mouth. And they encourage the body of Christ. And I would say this, body of Christ, show up to your city council meeting.
Hello.
Go support these men of God. Let me throw you some facts. So back in the, I'm not from Dallas, Texas, so I've been here since 2000, maybe four, something like that. So I'm an official Dallasan, the official DFW man. But back in the day, I don't know, are you all from here your whole life? Anybody? No?
No.
Your whole life? A little bit?
My whole life.
No, 20 years, 30 years?
Yeah, 20.
20 something years? Okay, good. So Oak Cliff used to be dry. You know that, right?
That's where my pastor's from.
Used to be dry. Well, what I'm saying is it used to be dry. And the question is, why was it dry? Because the city council member, along with other city council members, guess what? They were Baptists. In other words, they were men of God. And they fought for Christian beliefs,
mm-hmm.
which we know that alcoholism is that's why those liquor stores, you know how I used to say they used to say spirits?
It still does.
It still does. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there you go. It's a spirit. Mm-hmm. That's why we must not be drunk in wine, but we must be drunk in the
spirit
and the new wine and the Holy Spirit. And so what I say to that is that city members or cities or citizens that are Christians, it is your opportunity. Maybe you're not serving at the church. Maybe you don't have a preaching degree or what. I mean, you don't need a preaching degree. But you know what I mean. You're not serving at the church. You're not doing this. But maybe your call is to be part of the city council. And a lot of you have that opportunity. And I would say this, that this city or Pensacola or Arlington or Dallas, please, we need to
crush
it. Okay. You know, and every city in the DFW, we need Christians run for those offices. Let me tell you, if it doesn't happen, a lot of things are going to be written. A lot of things, and even now, they'll write laws that say to vote yes. Or vote no for taxes, and if you're ignorant, you go, oh, no for taxes, and what it means is something completely different,
mm-hmm.
because this is the way they do it. They try to deceive you. The world's all about deception.
Yes, it is.
And if you don't get informed, if you're not well versed in the scripture, if you're not well versed in the city that you're in, there will be a lot of deception.
And Brother Edward got to pray for the mayor in Fort Worth. Her name was, I can't remember her name. I even got to put her sign in my yard because the lady was driving by and asked me if she could put her sign mm-hmm. on my front yard. She won. But we prayed for her, and Edward got to meet her in person. She's the mayor of Fort Worth. And Lord, help me. I can't remember her name, but God knows her name. And she received the prayer.
Absolutely.
Of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because not our will, but thy will should be done. As we pray and intercede.
And that ties into the scripture that I wrote down in my car because as I'm driving in, Pentagon, I've looked for it. I was like, well, it's not Pentagon. It's not this. It's not PE. It's Pentagon. Pen with a PA.
Mm-hmm.
And so unknown. It's like, okay, well, unknown. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that know Christ,
come on,
heard his name, but he's unknown to them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there is no knowledge of him.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
That is, that is.
And that's salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, salvation. And you cometh to the knowledge of the Holy One, knowledge. That's a relationship.
Yes.
And then the Bible says, bring it understanding. That is eternal life.
Woo.
That is everlasting. Amen. So it all starts with wisdom, being saved. But once you're saved, you need to have a relationship with him. So this is why a lot of people, they know about him, but don't have a relationship with him. And they make him the unknown God.
Ooh.
Amen. So when you're worshiping the unknown God, then how can you defend knowledge of God, your relationship with God? How can you defend the gospel? How can you not be ashamed How can you not be ashamed of the gospel? Amen. And so Acts 17:22 talks about this. Paul standing in the center of Areopagus. In other words, it was a hill. A hill of Mars. That's what it's called in Greek. Said to the men of Athens. He said, I observe with every turn that I make. In other words, everywhere I go, whether I go in Pentago, whether I walk around in the street, whether I walk around in America, because this is what it's going to come down to. He says, everywhere I go, I make throughout the city that you are very religious and devout in all aspects. And religious has a good side. It's good to be religious in one way, but religious points us out that it's not enough. Religion is not enough to save us. Religion only points to us that we need a savior. Religion, you can line it up with law, and you can line it up with just the traditions. Amen. All these things are good. There's good tradition. Don't get me wrong. There's good. As a matter of fact, Christianity, we have great traditions. America has great traditions. Amen. There's a lot of countries that have great traditions, but those traditions are not going to stand the time, just like the Bible says that my word will be with you until the end of time. And the Bible says that Paul said, now, as I was going along and carefully looking at your objects of worship. And now listen, hey, I drive down. I have a business that works with billboards. And so I know what it is about the and every company that I associate with. You know, I'm not going to put something out there that's going to destroy, you know, a family or bring any type of a word that's going to be bad for the nation. Amen. And so I'm very picky. You know, I could make more money, but it's not about money. It's about letting people know who Christ is. Amen. And so as I was going along very carefully, looking at all your objects of worship, I mean, there's a lot of objects of worship. There's three things I want to think. Number one, thanksgiving. Number two, praise. Number three, worship. When you give thanks, you're saying, God, you're good. You've been good to me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. When you praise him, you say, ooh, you're great. You're great.
Yeah.
Praise. Praising is you sharing the gospel. You're praising God. When you're praising, you're sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, you are great. You are my great Savior. When you worship, you're saying you are holy.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is the ultimate form of thanksgiving. Amen. And saying you are holy. And because you are holy, I am holy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There's going to be a time where, hey, even the angels know. Right now, they're just saying, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the Bible says, he continues to say this real quick. I was going along carefully looking at all the objects of worship. And I came to an altar. Coming to an altar means surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you build an altar, Abraham built an altar, Noah built an altar, all these men of God built altars. Why? Because it was a place of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
They surrendered their old and came into a new.
Mm-hmm.
They surrendered the old way and came into the new. And we have an altar. The church, like right here, when you have your Sunday services, when the man of God, the woman of God is preaching, there's an altar. And that altar represents the cross. That means you come to the cross and you submit. When you humble yourself, when you submit yourself, you will exalt you. Amen. In other words, when you are crucified in him, you surrender in him, he will exalt you. He will exalt you above your illness. He will exalt you above anything. He will exalt you when you humble yourself. When you resist him, the Bible, when you don't show humbleness and you're frightened, he will resist you. Amen. And so he came, he looked at the objects of worship, and he came to his altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you already worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. In other words, because there is a lot of people, and like I said, I'll use the term good very, very lightly. There are a lot of good people, okay? I mean, yeah, let's just say that. Good parents, good businessmen, good, great human beings. I mean, they love humanity, you know. they're just worshiping an unknown God. The reason is because they don't have a relationship. So our job as the church is to proclaim,
come on,
to proclaim this unknown God.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make it known to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it known to him who he is in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Genesis to Revelation, it is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He is Genesis. He is Exodus.
Come on.
He is Numbers. He is Leviticus. He is Deuteronomy. He is Revelation. He is
mm-hmm.
the revelation
mm-hmm.
of God. The Bible says that he is the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible says he's created us in the image
mm-hmm.
and in
yeah,
the
yeah.
likeness
yes.
of God.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why even Jesus said, hey, give to Caesar what belongs to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he did.
Because what's on the coin? The face of Caesar. But give to God what belongs to God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So in all these things, as a church, we need to proclaim it. We need to identify it. Somebody the other day asked me a question. He said, hey, Pastor, you know, there's other books, you know, the Book of Enoch, and which I love the Book of Enoch. Trust me. If you're going to teach about the fallen angels and demons and all demonology, all the stuff that we teach at New Life Church, you've got to read the Book of Enoch. Even Jude read the Book of Enoch. Peter read the Book of Enoch. So the Book of Enoch was one of them, probably one of the most popular books in the times of the early church. But I will say this. Why only 66 books? Well, I'll say this is the simplest way you can answer that question. Because the 66 books, you can lead somebody to Christ if you repent. The other one, it'd be pretty hard to lead them to Christ in the Book of Enoch. Now, you can come up with information that will give you information, but the 66 books, that's the gospel. Even Leviticus, as a matter of fact, I would say this. Leviticus, you see the gospel in Leviticus more than anywhere else.
Mm.
In this whole Bible.
Amen.
So go back and read the book of Leviticus. Amen. And I'll say this, let's go to talking about the Bible and how sometimes you read the word and you're like, well, you know what? What am I going to get out of that? Well, let's go to Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
And I love this. I love this. This is hopefully going to blow your mind here. Let me see. Let's go to First Chronicles. Is it First Chronicles? First Chronicles, you see, family. You read Chronicles, family of Adam, names. I don't know about you, but when I read this, when I was locked up, I was like, my Lord, what are all these names here? What does this do for me, right? And he just kept reading. You go all the way to Second Chronicles, and you keep reading. And I believe, First Chronicles. First Chronicles all the way to 4, names, and then all of a sudden, God stops the press. Whoever's writing the book of Chronicles, stop. And there's a silence from heaven to earth. Because there was this man that was Jabez.
Yep.
First chapter, family of Adam, Seth, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, all the way to David, et cetera. Chapter 4, the book of Judah. I mean, the family of Judah. Verse number 9, Jabez, which means pain.
Yeah.
Trouble. Amen. And Jabez, the Bible says, was more honorable. He was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore you in pain. And Jabez, what did he do? He called on the God of Israel. In other words, he had a knowledge of who he was. Wherever he got his information from, obviously he got it from the tribe of Judah, which means to praise. And in your praising, knowing that God is great, amen, praising means the gospel. Amen. He knew, he had a recognition of who God was. And God stops the press. And I just want to remind somebody here, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what city you're listening from, what nation you're listening from, what situation you're in, and you may think that God's got more important things to do. Well, I'm telling you that there's nothing more important than you right now. The Bible says that there was this man who was a merchant, and he gave up everything. He gave up, and he came up, why? Because he saw value in that pearl. You are that pearl. And he gives up his position in the divine place, and he becomes the Son of God. He becomes the bread of life. He becomes the light in the darkness, but the darkness did not recognize it, didn't understand it, but you understand it.
Mm.
And because you understand it, I'm telling you, yes, right now, I'm sure God don't have his hand full because he operates outside of time. Amen. And whatever's going on in this world, I would say this, God is in control. And he's even in control in your situation, your
Hallelujah.
Personal situation, your whatever it is, you know, your personal situation, he's in control. And just like Jabez, in a time of trouble. And I would say something else to this. There was a man named John, John the Beloved. He wasn't John the Beloved from the beginning. He was a brother of the Sons of Thunder. You know what that means? That he was a violent man.
Mm.
That's why you're listening from Mexico, you're listening from where, you're saying, but I'm a former gangster, I'm this, you know, maybe I've killed somebody, maybe I've spoken some horrendous things, and I've been very violent. Well, guess what? The Sons of Thunder, they were violent. Do you know what? He became John the Beloved. He became the kind of man that put his ear in the bosom of Christ to hear the heart of God. And he was the one that God said to his mother, he said, here's your son and here's your mother. So he took him from a place of trouble and anxiety and anger and violence and took him into a place that God can use. And then when the world tried to kill John, the Roman Empire tried to kill him. Nobody could kill him. They put hot oil on him, wax oil. They tried to kill this man. They couldn't kill him. So what they had to do, they had to quiet him up. They had to quiet him up. Why? Because he had a knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't worshiping an unknown God. He was worshiping someone he had a relationship with, and they could not shut him up. But you know what they did? They tried to take him. They took him to the island of Patmos, which means to kill you. Patmos means to kill you. In that place, in that situation that is meant to kill you, it is the place where God gives you the greatest revelation. Amen. The greatest revelation. You give you the greatest revelation in that place that is meant to kill you, in that place of trouble, in that agony, in your family. Maybe you were born and somebody adopted you, or somebody gave you up. Maybe they've been telling you that you've been unplanned, the unplanned pregnancy. All these things that the enemy comes to steal and destroy, whatever the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. I'm telling you, but you have to have a knowledge of Christ, a relationship with Christ. And in this situation, the press stops, because that's who God is. He will stop everything.
He will.
He will stop everything. But the question is, are you willing to come to him? Are you willing to draw near him? Because the Bible says that when you draw near him, he will draw near to you.
That's right.
Amen. And the Bible says that Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. I'm telling you, what God has blessed, no man can curse.
That's it.
You are blessed. You know why you're blessed? Because you know him.
Yes.
And because you know him, you are blessed.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or stands in the ways of the sinner. But he delights in the law day and night. Amen. And you will be like a tree that the leaf never withers, and is planted by the rivers of living water.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
Now, watch this. When you do that, when you know you are blessed, that means you are saved. If you're saved right now, if Christ is your Lord, you are blessed. You are blessed right now.
Amen.
And there are some things that you know you need to repent. Then guess what? Build an altar. Physical altar. I'm talking a spiritual altar. An altar of surrender.
Yes.
Surrender your anger. Surrender your unforgiveness. You know, the Bible says that as you come in to give your sacrifices onto the altar, and you remember that somebody has something against you, what does it say? Leave your sacrifices at the altar and go and ask Jesus.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible represents. Amen. So you can come with a sacrificial heart. He said, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
He wants to enlarge our territory.
Yeah.
What? So that we may what? So that we may proclaim the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to, he wants to expand his territory to proclaim the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
And we're here on the radio right now. We're here on live show, social media.
Right.
You know, we're here in front of 2-3 people in front of us. Hey, you know what? We're proclaiming
yes.
the gospel.
Yes,
he's
right.
expanding the territory.
You know, a lot of us, we want him to trust us with big things,
come
but
on.
He can't even trust us with little things. Come on. Come on. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory that your hand would be upon me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Let me tell you something. Most people that embrace pain, that haven't surrendered their pain, are the ones that cause it.
That's right.
Abusers abuse.
That's right.
Violence causes violence. Stop bleeding on other people. Mm. Stop bleeding on other people. Give it to God.
Yeah.
So that you don't cause pain no more.
Yeah.
And that's what he was saying. Bless me. Save me. Because I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to curse my children.
Yeah.
In other words, train up a child in the ways of the Lord. And when he grows up, he will not depart from
him.
You know what that means? The gospel. That is the gospel.
Yeah.
So God, watch this. So God granted what he requested. Amen.
Yeah.
Be a man after God's own heart. Be a woman.
Come on,
own heart. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
And I'm just blessed with the power of the Holy Spirit all over us here. But because that just always gives me hope. Jesus is hope, y'all.
Yeah.
And just to know that, you know, I share with everybody, and everybody knows of my brother Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
When my sister heard of that I was doing a post for Bethel, he goes, Bethel is out. You know, because my brother Bethel is in prison right now. And then I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, no, but he will be one day.
Yes.
And I know God's going to restore my brother.
Yes, he will.
I know one day he's going to be preaching the good news because
yes,
he's been writing me. He's been sharing nothing but the gospel.
Amen.
So God meant it for good, Pastor.
Yes,
and I'm just excited of the thanks of God because he restores. He heals.
Yes, he does. Yes,
when
he does.
Everybody gives up, he never gives up. Right?
He never.
I always
ever,
tell
ever.
People. I might let you down. The church might let you
down.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
People might let you down, your family, but not Jesus.
Nope,
yeah, turn your heart to Jesus. Right,
yeah,
Pastor?
That's right.
Praise God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
You know, to sit with people who, as we always say, iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
You know, we come together. And,
oh, I love it.
You know,
I love it.
Lord,
oh, yes.
And I love it when Laura always say we learn to know and grow.
Yes.
Being teachable.
Oh, yes.
Every
yes.
single day. And,
every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
You know, and being encouraged
yeah.
every day.
Yeah, my familia en Reynosa, Pastor. I have familia en Monterrey.
Familia en Reynosa también.
Y muchos de ellos no saben inglés. A lot of them don't know English.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't see them all the time, but they talk to me through the text messenger. And they say, oh, we saw you today. And we didn't understand, but we feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of my cousins, Lisette, me dijo, ¿me puedes mandar tracks to spread the good news?
Yes.
Reynosa. So
absolutely.
I went and got some Spanish tracks. I went and got her a Bible. I went and got her whatever the Holy Spirit told me
to give her.
And it just blesses to know that God is so faithful, even through Facebook, which I call it
Facebook.
God's touching my family, Pastor, and they're spreading the good news, okay? And all of them are not there yet, but they have no choice. I'm praying in intercession,
Just
like my abuelita was praying for me, okay?
I would say something about Mexico. You know, a lot of times, you know, we want to go to Kenya, we want to go to Pakistan, we want to all these places, which is great. God bless them. And we have a church in Kenya. We have two missionaries in India. God bless them. We're going to Colombia, si Dios quiere, in 2022. But the most dangerous part of the world is in Mexico. Is in Mexico.
Wow.
There is a stronghold in Mexico. You're talking about principalities, rulers of darkness, and then you have religion as well. And when I talk about principality, you're talking about government.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the news in Mexico, I guarantee you, if you're preaching the gospel in Mexico, hey, God bless you. We love you. We thank you. All you guys that are spreading the gospel out there in Reynosa, Dios los bendiga, toda la frontera, the most dangerous area. I mean, the Gulf doesn't have nothing with the violence that happened in the frontera of Texas and Mexico. So
and, we're connected with Outcast Ministry, which is Pastor Marcos and Patti. They were at the...
God bless them. God bless
them.
They
were here this Sunday, and she's going back on Wednesday. And so everybody that I'm connected with, they know that, and they go to the homeless camps
in
Reynosa. And they're
radical, man.
They're bringing clothes. They're bringing all kinds of stuff to give to the people.